report in Drive Time.
And of course, it's a weekly Africa report. Just quickly, some WhatsApps coming through. One of the things we're going to be discussing is the corruption index. And this person says, watching the Basasa State capture, the Zonda Commission is like watching a soap opera. So funny to see how Mr. Kriti and company incriminate themselves live on television. And he says there's only one option for CEO of Basasa, Gavin Watson. He says he must go to Dubai and go and stay with the Guptas. Okay. But online is our special guest, Chris Simba. You can follow him at afrodemocracy.word-press.com. And today we're going to be having a look at the scenario in Zimbabwe, lawyers marching to the Constitutional Court, the DRC, Corruption Perception Index, and a lot, lots more. But Chris Simba, as always, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. It's always my pleasure to be on this platform, and it's good to speak to once more to the people of Africa, good listeners.
And of course, interesting stuff in Zimbabwe. They're closer to you than we are closer to them, because we're at the bottom of Africa in Cape Town. But apparently lawyers have marched to the Constitutional Court in Zimbabwe to demand an independent judiciary to try the over 1,000 people detained for anti-government protests. This is important, isn't it, that if the lawyers and the people in the streets are demanding an independent judiciary and not one, listening to President Emmerson Mnangagwa.
Okay, thank you so much. Yes. The gesture by the lawyers in Zimbabwe is commendable. It is one of the most effective ways to advocate as well as to lobby government to take a serious public policy position. Given what transpired in Zimbabwe, where thousands of people or hundreds of people have been detained for participating in their country's protest, I think it's very much commendable that lawyers have put their statement very clearly that something needs to be done. A compromise is very important. And that compromise can only be realized if those people, the citizens of Zimbabwe, advocates, civil society organizations, scholars, are tried by some form of a jury, a public jury, or an independent tribunal. That is going to be neutral. That is going also to look at the plight and the reasons why they were on the street. If they were going to be subjected to the standard a public judicial system, the very courts of Zimbabwe, I can assure you, the rule there, the penal code in Zimbabwe, just like Zambia and many African countries, is very stiff. Those people are not going to see the light of the day. Many of them will be imprisoned and they'll go behind bars. So I think it's a very important call. The march in the petition to the Constitutional Court is welcome and commendable. I think it's important for President Mnangagwa to hear the political advocacy and lobby of the lawyers to ensure that I think he intervenes and he begins to call for some form of a political compromise so that the people that the marchers and the protesters are not tried by a standard court. As I said, that is going to incriminate them, and that will take them to jail, most of them, or if not all of them, which will also be a political crisis in itself. So I think they are only demanding for a political compromise, some form of a negotiation between the government and those that have been arrested, as well as the opposition. So I think it's very important for Zimbabwe to get talking and to seek some form of a political dialogue amongst themselves. If they go through the judicial path, they want to subject the protesters and the marchers, I can assure you it will be a crisis politically, because a lot of them will be found wanted, because the penal code is very stiff and very rigid.
Do you think that if the penal code goes through, as you say it does, it could only be the recipe for more uncertainty and more protests and even more violence in Zimbabwe? Because we're getting the impression that the people of Zimbabwe have now had enough. They're the Helen, and they are just not in any mood to tolerate any more nonsense from their leadership.
Yeah, you see, the political ship of Zimbabwe is failing to be or to be floating smoothly right now. It is like the Venezuela situation of Africa in today.
Indeed.
What we are seeing in Venezuela is equivalent to what we are seeing in Zimbabwe, where the citizens, the civil society, the academia have said enough is enough, and we want some form of change. And I think the change they are talking about is not one that will come through a ballot or a vote in terms of changing the government. I think they are trying to create a shortcut to see some form of regime change that will represent them, that will defend their interests, that will stand for them. So far, President Mnangagwa's government, I can assure you, seems to be politically failing the people of Zimbabwe. And if he keeps on pressing towards the judicial button very hard to try the protesters and the marchers and imprison them, I can assure you Zimbabwe is going to fall apart politically. And the political crisis which is on the horizon right now in Zimbabwe is going to get worse. And at some point, it may go beyond the hands of President Mnangagwa and it may become too late. I think he has an opportunity to put back the political flight on course. It is going to engage the civil society, the opposition, and strike a compromise to release the people that were detained, to strike some form of political amnesty, as well as judicial amnesty for those protesters and marchers, and begin to engage them in a very peaceful and democratic manner. The court process is an oppressive tool. It is a legal one. It is established by the Constitution that people that violate the Constitution or some form of laws in Zimbabwe, for example, that vandalize public property, destroy people's assets in demonstrations, are supposed to be tried or criminalized. But at this stage, it would be too politically wrong for President Mnangagwa to press that button because it is a red button. I think if it was going to be wise, he needs to remove the hand on that red button of incriminating them by striking a compromise and an amnesty with them, because I can assure you, Zimbabwe, if they push the button of imprisoning those marchers, it will fall apart and the political crisis is going to worsen. It will go beyond Mnangagwa and it might become too late. But also, SADC countries, especially Zambia, South Africa, Namibia, they are going to pay dearly because you are going to see an influx of refugees and those will be trying to come here to seek for greener pasture. So we don't want to go there as a region because I think the region is economically traumatized, both in South Africa, in Zambia, in Namibia, in Zimbabwe, and all the neighboring countries. We have our own economic issues. I think it would be better to see a stable Zimbabwe and a Zimbabwe that is going to give itself political and economic solutions than indeed to fall apart.
Absolutely. I think everybody agrees with those particular sentiments. Just one quick question before we break for the headlines. What worries me is that I cannot see Emmerson Mnangagwa changing. I think he's too arrogant, too old. I mean, he was number two to Robert Mugabe. He has shown his true colors. I'm not convinced that Mr. Mnangagwa's got it in him to understand how he has to change.
Yeah, but you see, you are right. You know, Mnangagwa has got political arrogance and stubbornness. It's very visible both on his face and also in his tone when he speaks. But it's also very clear from his political record as well as legacy. But I think we need to emphasize one thing. We had President Hosni Mubarak of Egypt. He was more stronger and more stable than President Mnangagwa, but today is politically gone, is history. Mm-hmm. We had Gaddafi in Libya, is history. We had his predecessor, Robert Mugabe the Great. We can even call him the Great. He is history. So there is no powerful political institution than the people. The people are more powerful than any other president. And that message has to sink in President Mnangagwa before the power of the people can take him out of that office.
Profound words indeed, the power of the people, more powerful than any president. Chris Zimba, political analyst, our weekly Africa Report slot. We're going to cross over for our 30-second headlines. Stay online, Chris. We'll be back right after this.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Me making your headlines this hour. Metro Rail Western Cape says it is concerned that only 21 people have been convicted on cable theft and vandalism charges over the past year, despite more than 300 arrests having been made. The City of Cape Town lays criminal charges against the Cape Town Minstrel Carnival Association. Former Basasa employee Franz Forster says he had weekly meetings with Correctional Services former CFO Patrick Gillingham to secure a departmental catering tender. Those are news headlines. More news at 5 p.m.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Of course, welcome back to our weekly Africa report. Our weekly Africa correspondent Chris Zimba from Zambia is online. He is a managing consultant at the Democracy Center in that country. Chris, let's have a look at the DRC. A strange story. Three militia leaders linked to the killing of 39 police officers surrendering in a show of support for the new president, Felix Tshisekedi. Do you understand that story? Because I don't.
Oh, yeah. President Felix Tshisekedi is an interesting president, so to speak, because he has won a very controversial and highly contested election, which was disputed by a lot of stakeholders. And I think there will be a lot of political drama in the next few months that we're going to see in the DRC Congo as he tries to make himself legitimate and as he tries to appeal to different stakeholders to accept him and approve him as a Republican president of DRC Congo. The situation of the militias surrendering themselves is one of them. In my opinion, I tend to think that there's some form of a political statement that is being made, that the surrender to him is a form of a statement to say, you are the man, you are the president, you are politically the alpha and the omega of DRC Congo, and whatever happened in the past, whatever we committed, you are now the new Joseph Kabila that can either say you are going in or you are free. So I think to me I see a bigger political statement in that surrender from the militias than a legitimate surrender. It is more of a political issue in it trying to present President Tshisekedi as a legitimate president, and much more as one that has been accepted and endorsed by different players and stakeholders. So I think that's just the beginning of many of such political drama we are going to see in DRC Congo as the President Tshisekedi tries to settle down. And I think there'll be a lot of political schemes, in my opinion, that will be schemed around the presidents of Felix Tshisekedi, so that by the end of the day, different players and stakeholders, either from the left, right, center, back, and front, they'll come from all angles to try to worship him, to try to present themselves to him, to try to make him feel more politically legitimate as a political alpha and omega of DRC Congo, or as a new Joseph Kabila. So I think more political drama behind that to try to endorse him as a legitimate leader than a genuine legal and criminal surrendering of citizens to a head of state and government. And moreover, why should they surrender themselves to him? There are other public institutions that could have supposed to have handled that, where they're supposed to have gone to do that. But you see, they are directing that political drama to him. So it is to endorse him, it's also to crown him in using different means and methods. And in this case, using illegitimate means that makes him legitimate in the eyes of the public.
And of course, what I find interesting is all the Congolese people in South Africa, they're in the car parks of South Africa, are not impressed at all. To them, Felix Tshisekedi is the reason why they have to park cars in South Africa, as opposed to working as doctors, lawyers, and dentists, and that kind of stuff.
You see, the political situation in DRC Congo has not ended. The confirmation by the Constitutional Court that Felix is the legitimate president is the beginning of a new political chapter for the people of DRC Congo. What I see as the lasting solution for DRC Congo is a political compromise and negotiation between Felix as well as Martin Fayulu from the coalition opposition France. And I think the government of national unity that was earlier prescribed by SADC when the elections were just announced, to me, stands out to be the main political solution that was going to help the people of Congo. You need to understand that a huge population of DRC Congo, millions of people, didn't vote for Felix Tshisekedi, and they still reject him and denounce him today. I can assure you there shall be no political gimmick or scheme that Felix Tshisekedi or Joseph Kabila are going to use to stabilize that country politically now. The only solution which is sure and workable is to bring everybody to the political dialogue and compromise. And it won't just be President Martin Fayulu, but you need to talk about people like Moses Katumbi that mm-hmm. were frustrated and eliminated using a government system and the judicial process. We need to talk about Thierry Bemba, all those political giants. They are in this political equation that's going to give the people of DRC Congo a political solution if they were accepted to be brought to a table and given some form of a stake into this new government. Felix Tshisekedi alone, I can assure you, is not going to stabilize and manage or govern Congo in its current form because, as I said, a huge population of the citizens of DRC Congo don't accept him and still denounce him, regardless of what transpired through the Constitutional Court, as well as his inauguration. That, to most of them, or many of them, is still immaterial. He is not their president. He is the president of those that engineered him to become their president. So Congo is still divided, both at home and abroad. And I think it will be very important for President Tshisekedi to begin to open the doors to Martin Fayulu, to people like Moses Katumbi, Thierry Bemba, and other people from the opposition coalition into forming a government of national unity than dining and whining Joseph Kabila and Shadari. I think that's a wrong button and is heading towards a politically a wrong direction that won't help him nor help the people of DRC Congo.
Final question. Do you think Felix Tshisekedi is going to realize all the things that we are discussing? Do you think he's going to realize how important it is that he does have a government of national unity, a government of accommodation, to give the DRC something of a brighter future?
Yeah, you see, it's the realization by President Tshisekedi. Is dependent on the stakeholders and the people of Congo. If they give him political room and acceptance to say what transpired, no matter how wrong they perceived or interpreted it, is okay, and now they need to move on, I can assure you that Felix is not going to look back. He'll keep on flying and moving on this train with the Kabilas and the Shadaris. They'll be dining and whining as such. But if the people of Congo, President Martin Fayulu and the opposition alliance or coalition begin to keep on pressing that button of rejection and denouncing him, they don't give up. They begin to lobby and advocate. They behave like the people of Zimbabwe. They continue to behave like the people of Venezuela, but in a peaceful manner. I believe that President Felix Tshisekedi is going to hear their voice, and you have got no option or choice but to engage them and bring them to a political negotiation table where a government of national unity is going to be the only solution or political answer to the equation. But if they allow him to keep on flying in the way he is, I don't think he's going to look back. He's going to think that now the political storm is over and it's time to dance and dine and wine. But I think they shouldn't accord him that opportunity to start dancing and whining. Let them keep him running so that he realizes that he's not the only significant political player in DRC Congo, but that the opposition coalition and its leadership, they are also a significant player. And even if they were not head according to the expectation by the Constitutional Court, they are still entitled to have a stake in the governance of that country, because indeed they have a huge following and a huge membership behind them.
Chris Simba, political analyst, talking to us from Zambia, Weekly Africa Report. Thanks a lot. Always a pleasure. Chat to you same time next week.
Thank you so much. It's always my pleasure as well to be on this platform. I'm honored.
The Voice of the Cape, 91.3.